Welcome to our Blue Papers podcast edition. Blue Papers are our version of white papers here at 4 Imprint. They cover a wide range of business topics, all with an aim to help your organization succeed. This is episode number 145, Reshoring. This episode is presented by 4 Imprint Incorporated marketing associate, Lance Stratton. Welcome home. Why companies are bringing business back to the U.S. There's no place like home. That's what companies like Apple, Ford, Whirlpool, and others are discovering. The trend is a growing number of organizations clicking their heels and bringing overseas operations back to the U.S. According to Harold Serkin, a senior partner from the Boston Consulting Group, in the upcoming years, 20 to 25% of products that were once sent offshore will eventually return to the United States. Even more telling, research shows that more than half of executives at manufacturing companies with sales exceeding $1 billion either plan to or are thinking about bringing overseas operations back to the United States from China. Since 2012, there's been roughly a 15% increase in companies that return to the U.S. It's a global trend. One study found that in the past 3 years, a surprising 1 in 6 companies from the United Kingdom returned home. The practice is called reshoring, and more corporations are putting out welcome mats for foreign operations to return home. Manufacturing.net went so far as to call 2013 the year of reshoring. According to the global consulting firm A.T. Kearney, there are a number of macroeconomic factors that tip the balance in favor of domestic manufacturing. Some of the reasons cited for the shift include labor rate inflation and lower energy costs in the United States. A few years ago, the Obama administration launched a Make It in America campaign designed to make manufacturing in the U.S. more appealing. The idea is to shift manufacturing back home to create jobs and increase competitiveness of the United States on the international stage. And since more than 500,000 U.S.-based manufacturing jobs have been added since 2010, one could say the strategy is working. What is the root cause of this movement? For one, it's not as cheap as it used to be to go global. Overseas costs for labor, distribution, and manufacturing are on the rise, and many companies find that it's not as economically beneficial as it once was to do business abroad. In China, for example, wage and benefit increases are 15% annually on average. While companies used to enjoy a labor cost advantage of about 55%, by 2015, economists believe this number will decline to just 29%. Global sourcing has also declined because hidden costs are taking a toll on profitability, possibly because companies didn't do their homework in advance. In a Forbes article, Steve Denning called global outsourcing the most short-sighted business decision in history. Estimates show that 60% of companies that embraced offshore manufacturing didn't conduct a full cost savings analysis. Instead, they focused only on reduced labor costs. Now companies are learning that other costs outweigh labor savings and are returning to home base. This podcast examines the reshoring phenomena, starting with an explanation of why global sourcing is being reevaluated at some organizations. It will also summarize some of the benefits you might realize if you pull business back home. Finally, it will help companies decide whether or not reshoring is the right move for the organization and identify key questions to explore. While a welcome home party might be in your future, before you make a move, it's important to look at the bigger picture and weigh the risks as well as the rewards. So, why the shift to reshoring? To be clear, global outsourcing is not dead. In fact, global outsourcing will continue. Some Asian countries are even expected to see a surge in demand. A 2012 study by research firm Oxford Economics and co-sponsored by Towers Watson and Company projects that during the next 5 to 10 years, demand for industrial talent will rise 37.7% and demand for business services workers will grow 40% in developing Asian countries. Additionally, some companies will maintain global outsourcing as they expand domestic operations. Caterpillar, for example, opened a new factory in Texas, but at the same time announced it will expand research and development activities in China. That said, the challenges encountered over the past few years suggest global outsourcing isn't always what it's cracked up to be, forcing companies to exercise greater caution. As noted, energy and labor are two costs that have increased in the past few years. As the global economy took a downturn, natural resources became more expensive abroad, thus reducing cost savings. Oil prices, for example, are now 3 times what they were in 2000, and it is often cheaper in the U.S. Likewise, natural gas is actually 75% cheaper in the U.S. than China. In many cases, companies find that domestic energy costs are lower than those abroad. As previously mentioned, labor costs have also increased abroad, particularly in China. Chinese labor costs are 5 times what they were in 2000 and are expected to continue rising. Although reduced labor costs made outsourcing attractive in early years, today, low-cost labor is not as prevalent due to greater attention to global labor laws and an emphasis on fair wages. Still, there are other reasons why companies are reshoring. Companies are discovering that the virtual workplace has its weaknesses and that global collaboration has limits. At some organizations, the cultural challenges of outsourcing were overwhelming and required the constant presence of managers to keep operations on task. Managers, in turn, were forced to increase the amount of travel required to make the partnership work, and that had a greater impact on finances and resources than anticipated. What else changed? Over the years, recalls and product safety questions led many consumers to crave the Made in USA label, and that impacted some decisions to reshore. As the desire to purchase American-made products increased, companies decided to increase domestic presence, which also had the added advantage of being closer to their customer base. Some companies find that being close to the customer enables greater product customization as well as supply chain improvements. Finally, some manufacturers have ethical motives for reshoring, such as reducing carbon footprints, creating domestic jobs, and reducing concerns over foreign labor conditions. In the United States, new legislation and incentives are making it even easier to return, and an added bonus is that it can reflect positively on your organization. If you're looking for a reshoring success story, look no further than General Electric. So far, the company has invested $800 million to bring back operations to the U.S. Specifically, GE returned Chinese manufacturing operations for its hybrid water heaters to its Kentucky-based factory, despite earlier beliefs that it would be more expensive. But after doing the math and factoring in rising wages and transportation costs, the company decided to bring production back to the U.S. To do this, GE repurposed one of its existing factories to accommodate a water heater assembly line. At the same time, the company developed new, lower-wage structures for employees and relied on input from experts to reduce waste and time to market. Overall, the effort resulted in lower transportation, material, and labor costs, plus significant quality improvements. Before reshoring, product delivery time took a minimum of 4 weeks by boat from China and 1 week to clear customs. Now, the total time from factory to warehouse is just 30 minutes. Even energy efficiency improved, and in the final analysis, whereas the China-made product retailed at $1,599, the Kentucky-made product retailed for just $1,299. If you do the math, that adds up to an impressive 20% cost reduction. GE is not the only company reducing overseas operations. Last year, Apple CEO Tim Cook announced it will resume domestic manufacturing across multiple locations and will spend $100 million to bring back existing Mac lines to the United States. In 2013, Walmart announced it will increase sourcing of American-made products by $50 billion over a 10-year period by purchasing goods already made in the U.S. and helping vendors bring back overseas production. One of Walmart's largest bicycle suppliers, Kent International, moved operations to South Carolina, anticipates it will assemble 500,000 bikes annually by 2016, creating 175 domestic jobs along the way. In another example, HCL Technologies announced that this year that it will increase the U.S. workforce closer to its Sunnyvale, California headquarters. The company reported that a sense of responsibility to U.S. communities impacted the decision. Prithvi Shergill, HCL's chief human resources officer, said, "We are committed to expanding local talent pools in the communities where we operate to ensure we staff the right skills in the right place at the right time for the right cost." Shergill also reiterated that the plan was part of a socially responsible business model that is more sustainable long term. Both big and small companies are reshoring with success. National Cash Register, or NCR, moved back to Georgia, while the smaller company, Fairrook Systems, moved 1,500 jobs back from China to the U.S. Overall, reshoring examples are abundant and telling. Companies are not only coming home, but are finding success on their journey. Before you decide whether or not to put out the welcome mat, let's examine the benefits of reshoring. A number of factors make reshoring an attractive option. According to the consulting firm A.T. Kearney, some of the benefits of reshoring may include improved delivery time, reduced freight costs, increased customer responsiveness, lower wage costs, improved quality controls, reduced risk to intellectual property, improved productivity, enhanced innovation, and better inventory controls. Some of these potential benefits are simply a reflection of proximity and math. It's not a rocket science. Moving operations close to home can obviously reduce delivery times. Accordingly, 34% of companies that reshore cite improved delivery time as a major benefit as well. Plus, when operations are closer, there's an obvious reduction in freight and delivery costs because products don't need to travel as far. Likewise, customer responsiveness might improve when manufacturing isn't separated by oceans. Moreover, as already mentioned, there may be an opportunity to reduce labor costs by moving home, since labor prices abroad continue to rise. But what about the other benefits if you reshore? Some claim that by reshoring, companies are able to institute higher quality control standards and reduce intellectual property risks. Bringing operations home also enables companies to manage the supply chain. Tighter, leaner supply chains are not easily obtained when manufacturing plants are thousands of miles away. Reshoring is also good for domestic economies. Not only does it bring jobs back to the U.S., but it can stimulate state and local budgets. It can lead to growth in the manufacturing workforce, promoting both academic and recruiting opportunities. With all these benefits, are you ready to click your heels and head home? If your company is considering reshoring, you have to do more than simply follow the yellow brick road. It's usually not a simple yes or no response. There's a lot of evaluation that needs to happen before you make a decision. To determine if reshoring is the right choice, companies must engage in some critical activities, including a comprehensive cost and benefit analysis, a review of customer satisfaction and retention, and an innovation assessment to evaluate the impact of global sourcing on innovation. The first step is to conduct a full cost analysis. Companies should examine the costs associated with labor, raw materials, shipping, natural resources, energy use, or any other costs incurred with outsourcing. It's important to evaluate the full landscape of offshoring costs, especially since surveys from Accenture and Archstone Consulting claim that 60% of companies fail to recognize 20 to 30% of outsourcing costs. At a minimum, companies should examine transportation costs, direct shipping prices, overall labor costs, travel costs, and tax incentives. Once you've uncovered the total costs associated with sourcing, you need to evaluate it against costs in the U.S. Will a number of costs be lower? If some costs are higher domestically, consider whether or not lower costs in other areas will eventually outweigh global costs over time. For example, if labor costs are still lower in the sourcing country, identify whether or not the cost savings associated with transportation will outweigh lower wages abroad long term. To further analyze domestic versus global costs, you might conduct a cost-benefit analysis. If you need help, visit the Reshoring Initiative at reshorenow.org, which is an industry-led effort with the goal of bringing manufacturing jobs back to the U.S. The initiative works with U.S. manufacturers to help them recognize the potential profits that come with reshoring. One of the resources provided by the effort is the Total Cost of Ownership Estimator, which is a free tool that can aggregate all associated cost and risk factors for easier and objective decision-making. Basically, Total Cost of Ownership, or TCO, refers to the measurement of direct and indirect costs of a product or system. TCO components look at the wide range of metrics, such as freight and packaging, inventory and carrying costs, missed customer deliveries due to shipment delays, and travel costs to visit and manage the supplier. After data is inputted, you receive a report highlighting calculations of each source's cost, an accumulation of all costs into cost categories, charts showing each source's current price, total cost of ownership, and five-year forecast, and line charts showing cumulative costs by category. Next, estimate the TCO in the U.S. versus abroad. It'll give you a comprehensive picture of costs for both domestic and global operations and whether or not you'll obtain TCO cost savings. Don't forget to take a look at recent legislation, tax, and other financial incentives that are now offered by state and local governments. It's important to include these in your analysis to consider the total financial picture. How much will it cost to physically relocate operations? Will you be able to recoup these costs over time? How long will it take to realize a payback? It goes without saying that relocation can be expensive. You might engage in scenario planning to determine if the cost and capital required for reshoring have acceptable returns, or if you can even afford relocation in the first place. Define if-then scenarios that weigh the cost of relocation against domestic savings over time. For example, you might come to the conclusion that if labor wages continued to decrease in the U.S. and energy prices continued to rise abroad, then the costs associated with moving are financially justified. However, it's important to remember to scrutinize all costs incurred through global sourcing, not just the obvious ones. For instance, customer satisfaction and retention should also be included in the decision-making process. Are shipping times and quality issues having a negative impact on customer satisfaction and retention? If the answer is yes, then reshoring might be the right move. Another issue to address is the mass customization trend, which refers to product modifications that reflect customer preferences. At some organizations, product customization requirements have increased, and it's easier to make products that reflect customer preferences when plants are closer to markets and research and development units. As an additional benefit, manufacturing close to customers allows companies to reduce lead times and keep up with ever-changing market demands. There are other key questions related to innovation that must be explored. Specifically, companies should conduct an assessment on the impact of global sourcing on innovation, because some research indicates that separating manufacturing from engineering can have a negative impact on innovation. According to GE spokesman Sebastian Duchamp, greater opportunity for innovation and collaboration was a primary driver for GE's domestic relocation. Duchamp recently noted that, quote, "Today, innovation has to be in the markets you play in, close to your customers, and close to access to the best talent wherever it exists in the world," unquote. Companies should also evaluate the impact that reshoring can have on production. Is distance causing a company's U.S.-based R&D department to miss chances to improve production methods that may reduce costs? Again, if the answer is yes, reshoring might be beneficial. Companies should also evaluate whether or not they are maximizing new and innovative manufacturing methods, such as 3D printing. Thanks to 3D printing, some companies are able to replace part of the manufacturing line to produce more savings. Determining whether reshoring is the right move is probably more complicated than most companies envision. Yet before you reshore, it's important to consider the big picture, including tangible and non-tangible costs, and weigh them against the benefits. Of course, the reshoring debate is not without criticism. In the article, "Don't Drink the Kool-Aid," author Stephen Marshall cautions against reshoring and asserts that despite good intentions, reshoring is not always feasible or profitable. He notes that, unlike Dorothy's ruby slippers in The Wizard of Oz, clicking our heels together and chanting, "There's no place like home," will not bring manufacturing home to the USA. Marshall and others believe that organizations should carefully evaluate the pros and cons of reshoring before making a move. Since reshoring essentially means moving operations from one country to another, capital expenses associated with the move can be quite high. Plus, the cost to build or update a manufacturing facility can be high and take years to recoup. There's also some debate as to whether or not global increases in labor costs truly impact the bottom line. Despite labor increases across China, for example, there's still a significant gap between average U.S. wages and Chinese wages. Critics argue that even if Chinese labor costs continue to rise, companies will still find lower rates in places like India, Bangladesh, and Africa, and choose to relocate to one of those regions before coming home. Reshoring opponents also point out that reshoring simply to reduce energy and labor costs is misguided. These types of costs are inherently cyclical and change over time because they are influenced by global economy. It's a better idea to ask how long manufacturing in the U.S. will be attractive and whether or not it justifies the effort to relocate. In addition, critics point out that after decades of outsourcing, the there's an interdependency across global markets that needs to be considered. It's not so easy to sever ties with foreign counterparts, especially if the company relied on access to raw materials and foreign exports. Along these lines, companies might experience a disruption in production simply because operations can't be moved overnight, making it difficult to keep up with consumer demand. The domestic skills gap might present another challenge to reshoring, according to those that make the case against it. When companies move operations back to the U.S., they might be surprised to discover that there's no longer a strong pool of talent to fill open positions. For years, many qualified and experienced workers either left or were forced out of the industry, diminishing the availability of domestic workers. Not to mention that moving back requires companies to hire and train a new workforce, and that's only if you assume you can find employees with the skills you need. For this reason, some argue that labor costs will actually increase in the long run. Finally, those that caution against reshoring cite that despite legislation and incentives aimed to bring manufacturing back, America's government still is not making it attractive enough for companies to return. In many cases, the incentives and tax breaks available globally far exceed those available in the U.S., even with improved legislation. So, is a welcome home party in your future? As reshoring gains momentum, many companies are tempted to jump on the bandwagon. But before you can make a move, it's important to consider all factors that impact the decision and weigh the risks against the rewards. Only then can you fully determine if it's time to invest in some party hats and throw a welcome home party. Thanks for listening to this podcast on reshoring. As always, keep on the lookout for future podcasts, each one designed to help your organization succeed. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to listen to others, please visit our website at foreignprint.com/bluepapers.